The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to Moving Forward with Jen Sabin. The 21st century has introduced new norms and resources that are of immense value to businesses and their bottom line. Yet in business, we require relevance and innovation, not just more information. We need the true stories of what works and what does not work. Our program today will tell you what you need to know. The experiences, perspectives, and resources shared by Jen and her guests will make all the difference for you and your business moving forward. Now, here's your host, Jen Sabin.
Hello, hello, and welcome, everyone. Welcome to Moving Forward. I'm Jen Sabin, and it's you and I today. We're going to be chatting about some things and exploring some different business issues. We're going to be discussing things that are relevant to small to mid-sized businesses as well as some solopreneur stuff. I also want to report back on the event that was held at the Biltmore Hotel, the Miami Growth Advisors, regarding the wave of economic opportunity in Miami, the $33 billion to come into the South Florida economy over the next 10 years due to the expansion and literally what's happening there. I was on a panel at the Biltmore, which is such a lovely hotel. It just really is exquisite. In Coral Gables in Miami, on the panel there were some just, you know, fabulous platform. And I wanted to share with you a little bit as to what was discussed, because I think it's relevant and I think it's interesting, and there may be an opportunity for your business, right? So here's the deal. I don't know what business you're in. I don't know if it's B2B. I don't know if you're a retail. I don't know if you're in food. I don't know if you're professional service, unless you introduce yourself, right? So you can always email Jen at jensabin.com or give us a call and introduce yourself, because we really so appreciate not just our listeners, not like the listeners, you the listeners, but our community here. I mean, the resources, the connection, it's just really great. And, the bottom line is we're all in this together, right? We really are. And so there was an interesting group assembled there. And in terms of the speakers, one of the speakers talked about business models. And if you haven't checked out businessmodelgenerator.com, please do. It's absolutely, extremely valuable, extremely insightful. It would most likely make a substantive difference for your business. So it's something to check out. But there's so many different components when, I'm stumbling over my words, my view on business models is the core of it is, how does your business make its money? So these are some basic questions. And if you haven't thought about this for a while, it probably is extremely valuable to think about it, because this is where the innovation comes from. And I know we've spoken about this on other shows, but it's something that can't be stressed enough. And you may, and here's something really interesting. It's one thing to know it in your head. Like, of course we know it. It's another thing to either have to write it down or articulate it to something else. Think of people in your organization or even in corporate. You know, one of the big things that Gallup came across, one of the seven most important things to people and the seven things that made the biggest difference to people who are part of an organization, is knowing what was expected of them. So there have been situations where my company, myself, I've gone to work with businesses who are either looking to grow or were starting out, and we spoke to key people on their team, whether they were independent contractors or they were W-2 employees, to use a U.S. construct, and we asked them to list what they were responsible for, what was expected of them. And we also asked the person who owned the company to write down what they were responsible for and what was expected of them. And lo and behold, what do you think? Shocker. Lots of gaps. Lots of, oh, really? Well, I knew that up here, but I didn't write it down. And it gave us an opportunity to look at where priorities were or what people were really focused on and paying attention to and what they had as kind of, either they had such a great system in place, it was like blinking, they didn't even think to distinguish that that's something they did. It was like sneezing or tying their shoe. It was just something they did. Or it was something that was just getting stepped over. So really valuable. So there's one thing to like know in your head, or of course we know, and it's another thing to write it down and articulate it. So how does your business make its money? And then there's all sorts of components that go into the business, because it's also how does it deliver value, right? What is your customer segment? What are your costs? What are your costs? Who are your key partners, key resources? What is the key value that you offer? And so there's a whole slew of things to consider and look at. And when you're filling out a form or you're involved in dealing with these things, one of the things that you might notice is that there are some gaps there. And actually what was so fascinating was there was a company who was kind of put in a hot seat. So companies had the ability to submit to be drawn in a raffle, and us as the panelists would kind of do a case study with them. And this one company, and just really high level, on the fly, you know, kind of putting their information on these different parts of this grid in terms of the business model generator, which is free. You can download it. It's easy access. Get the book. I highly encourage you to get the book. And what became really obvious was that there were some very, very key pieces that were missing, that they didn't even realize were missing. Like, they may have known, but they realized that in terms of key resources, key partners, there was an entire segment that they didn't have relationships with these people, and these are people that could direct them business. And what was so fascinating was that there was someone from the Beacon Council, it's a small business resource in Miami, and that was a resource that could put this company in contact with those key officials that they needed. So here's something else that was just so apparent to me. One of those things that you think everyone has done. When you're looking at your business and you're looking at who's the client, you know, who's your customer base, how do you get to that customer base? Very often, and I'm not just talking networking, oh my gosh. So I'm really good at the networking stuff. You know, there are things you're good at, but there's something about it to me, it's like a little contrived. It's like speed dating. You know, it just doesn't work for me. However, it's valuable and viable, and it's important, you know, to build relationships and to do those things. I'm aware of the value of networking in terms of organized collective gatherings. And I so much personally prefer venues like the one at the Biltmore, where there was a panelist and I was learning something. You know, it wasn't like throwing chum in the ocean. And there were resources there. There are people, most likely in your community, in the professional associations you may be part of, and part of their job, part of what they do, is to support people like ourselves and having access to people who could create a synergistic relationship, who could potentially direct business to us. And I'm not sure if you're really leveraging or exploring that. Like, are you thinking strategically? Are you thinking 6 degrees of separation? Well, I might not know any of the key purchasing agents, or I can't get to the C-suite, but who do I know can? And this is more than just centers of influence. This is a little different. What I'm talking about are business entities and organizations where they're for the city, the county, the community. So they're not necessarily private organizations, although there are private organizations that do this. But there are some just, they're out there and they exist. And in many cases, even though they're oversaturated, they're often underutilized. And they have access and entree to many doors that it would take a lot of effort. It's just an avenue of efficiencies. And by the way, they want success stories. Did I say that? Let me say it again because it might not be clear. They want success stories. They want to be part of your story. Why? Because that's what they're in existence for. It makes them look good. It matters. And this is also where they get their funding from, right? They've got metrics too. So it keeps them in their position. It keeps them getting the dollars, you know, paid to them. So I know this might seem very tangential, like we're going down a winding road here, right? So we started with the business model, and then we were talking about key resources. One of the things I discussed was strategy. You know, Miss Business Creative over here who just loves cash flow. I was talking about strategy, and I want to share with you what I said at the very beginning, which was that coming up with a strategy, just like starting to strategize, which was where most people like to go because it's juicy, you kind of get your claws in it, it's action-oriented, it's thinking, it's feeling, it's where there's passion, the rubber. I mean, there's so many compelling components to kind of get to the strategy, and the strategy is how. Getting to the strategy, or even getting to the plan before the strategy is worse, but that's like putting your shoes on and then pulling your pants up. The strategy is the bridge between where you are right now, and where you want to be. There's your vision, which is your dream, you know, like in the best of all possible worlds. And then you put milestones and goals and measurable outcomes in place to realize that, right? Like you translate it into goals. I want to build the number one, da 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 da. So it's in 36 countries. Da-da. All of a sudden, you're putting specifics around that. So the outcome is to be in you know, growth management group. We've worked with clients in over 43 countries, like 45, I don't. No. So let's say it's 43. Let's say the goal is 50 countries. All right. How are we going to do that? Now we're getting into the world of strategy. And by the way, when you have a good strategy, the plan becomes obvious. I will say that again. When we have a good strategy, the plan becomes obvious. When we have transactional strategies, when we're kind of dancing between a plan and a strategy, we find ourselves often spinning our wheels, being pulled in directions like, interesting maybe, but how the heck did we get here? It's where you find that you've squandered a lot of resources on things. There's a difference between investing a risk, taking chances, all that piece, versus finding that you've just like, what have we done here? Like, what have we done? Where are we? We're kind of in the middle of nowhere. We're not closer. Everything's got convoluted because we were acting so transactionally and we weren't leveraging things and we weren't clear on, we created a plan, but there wasn't really a solid strategy that gave the plan. And we kind of lost sight of it. So I was talking about strategy and the key piece of strategy. And then the other piece that I was discussing, which I think is really, really valuable and I want to spend some time on today, and that's about trends. Trends. Now, what's happening in South Florida, in Miami, is a trend. It is not a fad. Fads can be extremely lucrative, right? We think of fads in terms of fashion, in terms of novelty. Think of the pet rock, right? Someone put a rock in a box with shredded paper in the 70s. I believe it was 70s, it had to have been. In the 70s, and they called it a pet rock, and they sold it. And they made, I think it was $6 million they grossed on that rock in a box. And I may have shared this with you, some listeners who've been around for a while. But my neighbor, Barbara, she had two of them. Right? And she had a lot of toys. She had two of them. And I remember telling my father that I wanted one. So I was asking my father for, okay, get this, a rock in a box, to buy me a rock in a box. Okay? Now, I've spoken about my family a bit. I've got the greatest family. I'm very blessed. This is not my father's style to buy his kid a rock in a box. You got to be kidding me. I was working in the family restaurant business when I was 8. Like, we didn't, that wasn't our MO. So he took me out to a driveway, which was a circular gravel driveway. And he's like, listen, kid, you know, like Edward G. Robinson, right, with the cigar. Here's a village. Have fun. Like, go wild. Here's an entire, I'm bringing you to a country of pet rocks, right? What is she talking about? So, needless to say, I never got the pet rock in the box. I got to play in the driveway. That's a fad. However, it was a fad that existed within a trend, which was at that time novelty stores in the States. You had stores like Spencer, which did very well. And then we don't see today. Trends, here's the key thing about trends. Trends are in existence now. It's not something that's happening in the future. It's something that's happening now. And what most people tend to do is we tend to overestimate the short-term profitability of a trend. But we underestimate the long-term. Think of something like Starbucks. That was a trend, right? That was a trend. It was not a fad. And it's hard to distinguish sometimes in the early stages, but there's different types of trends. And I'll explain, because we're going to spend some time on this, because this really is valuable for us as business owners. This is extremely valuable. So there's three kinds of trends. There's macro, there's industry, and there's consumer trends. Okay, so macro trends are the biggies. That's the technology, that's the political, that's the, you know, that's the major things that we're seeing happen. And there's many resources. I'll share some of the resources around trends, but one of the resources to be, not resources, one of, like a trend, an example of a trend. The IMF, the International Monetary Fund, in October of 2012 reported that emerging, the GDP, the gross, the GDP of, GMP, did I say GDP? Of emerging countries exceeded that of advanced countries. I think it was like 44.4 trillion versus 41.4 trillion. I mean, then 42.1 trillion. It was like a $2 trillion bit difference. I'm talking T's, trillions. Trillions. Do you know what kind of numbers these represent? Trillions. Not millions, not billions, but we're in the world of the big T. The trillions. What does that mean? What that means is emerging markets are starting to trade with each other. So it used to be that the dominant dynamic was emerging markets and advanced markets, right? U.S., Vietnam, U.K., Turkey, etc. They're starting to trade with each other. This opens up incredibly new possibilities. Now, what's so interesting, too, is they don't have a legacy in place that's entrenched, that's limiting them. So usually you'll see a lot of agility and a lot of accelerated growth at different stages for emerging countries, just because of the nature of being able to capitalize on what's current, right? You know, what's new and now versus having to deal with an already existing archaic infrastructure or costly infrastructure. We're going to go to a break. We're talking about trends. And when we get back from the break, okay, Jen, this is all great, kind of interesting. I'm doing my work at coffee. I'm listening. I'm driving the car. How is this relevant to my business? How can this make what I do more profitable? How can it make it more efficient? How can it make it easier? How can this help me grow my business? Where's the value for me, or is this just cocktail conversation? When we come back from the break, we're going to talk a bit more about trends and how this is key and critical for you and your business.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network. Game-changing technologies and strategies are transformational, exciting, and disruptive for a reason. They shake up your status quo. They get you thinking about new ways to scale, compete, and grow. They move you in amazing new directions. You're invited to take your coffee break with Game Changers on Tuesdays at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, 12 noon Eastern Time, for our special series on today's top HR trends. Learn how you can become the savvy HR innovator who takes your company across the finish line as you look ahead to the next breakthrough human resources strategy. HR Trends with Game Changers, presented by SAP on the Business Channel.
Did you ever stop to think that financial health can be a lot like physical health? The financial physician, Luz Gattigna, has helped people on the radio for nearly 15 years. And now he's part of the Voice America Business Channel. By using medical analogies to discuss financial solutions, Lou actually makes the process easier to understand and will help you chart your own financial fitness. Tune in to The Financial Physician live every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 p.m. Pacific Time, and on demand anytime on the Voice America Business Channel.
Bob Pritchard has over 30 years of experience as a straight-talking business consultant and author working with some of the top Fortune 500 companies. Now he's come to the Voice America Business Channel to help you and your business. Tune in to the Bob Pritchard Radio Show for information about starting and successfully running a profitable business. From the movers and shakers to great marketing screw-ups, you can't afford to miss a single edition of the Bob Pritchard Radio Show. Tuesdays at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Business.
From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to Moving Forward with Jen Sabin. We'd love to hear from you today. Please call in to our program at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. If you'd prefer, send an email to Jen Sabin at jensabin.com. And remember, that's two N's in Jen. Now, back to Moving Forward.
Hello, hello, and welcome back. And this is Jen Sabin. I'm Moving Forward. We were discussing trends. Trends prior to the break, and we're continuing with trends. So whatever business you have, trends are key to understand for your business. All right? So why do we track trends? And this is, you know, this is so important. It's something that we don't often discuss at the forefront. Because why we're interested in trends is because it makes us aware of opportunities for relevant and profitable innovation. For relevant and profitable innovation, right? So we're not looking to get our trends mixed up. So before I said, you know, they all overlap, and no one here has a crystal ball. This isn't about, you know, knowing something, because what's so great is trends are already happening. We're seeing them in mainstream, on the fringe, minors, majors. Trends are happening. So you have, you know, the macro trends I mentioned, and then you have consumer trends. And the industry trends are at the effect of the other two. So a consumer trend that we are seeing today, a contemporary trend, is a trend towards, shall we say, green. That people are more eco-conscious, right? We are also seeing trends towards maybe things that are less chemicals, less processed, right? We're seeing the trends show up in the industry, you know, kind of this healthier awareness by, you know, fast food restaurants offering salads and healthier alternatives, lighter alternatives. We're seeing major industry players, multinationals offering consumer brands that are highlighting the absence of this in their product, or that this is all natural. Or think about now how this plays into your business. Maybe your product is something that you are doing to capitalize on a trend, is you're putting or noting that it's 100% recyclable packaging, right? Or 90% recyclable packaging. Trends are important, right? So we want to know the fads when we see one, okay? Now, just because it's happening doesn't mean that old school is gone, right? So, for example, think of Apple stores. You know, big boxes, history, etc. You know, Apple stores, a retail establishment, they're always filled. So they're actually hedging. They're utilizing two different platforms. The Apple store, you know, that's not a trend. That's, you know, kind of what's already, that's like establishment. But however, there is a trend towards online commerce, right? Not a fad. That's a trend. And people overestimate the short-term profitability, but they underestimate the long-term profitability, right? So one of the things in terms of, you know, how do you know the trends and looking at the trends is to know, first of all, why we're tracking them. We're tracking them because we're looking for relevant and innovative profitability opportunities, okay? And not all trends apply to all people. So it's not like one, you know, one means that it's the absence of everything else. So what's really interesting about this is you've got to be curious, right? And there are so many resources. There are so many resources available. You know, now, one of the things you want to consider is what had you noticed this trend, right? So why are you even noticing a trend? Like, what had you recognize it? How is there a cross-industry application here? Who's using it? Why do they like it? What do they dislike about it? Why was it introduced? So there's something to engage in here. And here's what's really interesting. You may spot a trend. You may name it. So you name this trend. Now you want to consider, does this have the potential to influence or to shape our company's vision? Right? How is this going to influence or shape our company's vision? Or maybe you've just come up with something that's a new business concept, an entirely new venture or brand. Right? Maybe you've recognized a new business opportunity. Interesting to think about. Or maybe you've just recognized that you're going to introduce a new product or service or different experience to a certain customer segment. So you might be adding something or tweaking or refining or repackaging, right? So it might be new, but it could be the same old, just reformatted, reframed. Well, we've always done that, or we've always had that, but now you're highlighting it differently, or you're bundling it differently, or you're using a different medium for the service, right? You know, it's possible. There's a store, Pier One, right? And recently, I was watching television, which is something I rarely do. I've been, you know, hesitant to admit that. But I was watching television. They had a commercial for it. And the whole premise of the commercial was, oh, I like this chair. And you can get it in blue. You can customize it. You could, you know, and we'll get it to you in 14 days, whatever. Now, I don't know, but it's possible that Pier 1 had always done this. But there's actually, they're recognizing that consumer trend towards customization, towards wanting it their way, towards, you know, this individuality, that it's not just off the rack. And it may have been that they've always had that. But what they've had is like the little swatches. They never thought to have a commercial about it, right? It would just be when you come in, this comes in these colors, or in their catalog, it comes in these colors. But all of a sudden, they're changing their marketing and advertising, because they're starting to speak the language of the customers already living the trend. They're showing those people, this particular segment of the market, that they get it. And you know, and they know, Pier 1 knows what they're excited about. So it might be that when you spot the trend, you realize that you already have something that's in sync with it, and now you're just kind of reshifting everything. Okay, like you actually always used recyclable paper because it was less expensive, but now all of a sudden it's a positioning piece, right? So there are some great things to know about this and to notice about this. So one of the things, and to draw this back to the initial conversation about the panelists at the Biltmore and that whole piece. So there's this stuff happening in South Florida, and for several years, the big boys, the multinationals, the large firms have been putting their footprint in. They've been setting up their sandboxes. Can I talk in any more jargon or metaphors? Right. So they've been setting these things up, and there's a small business community that is going to find themselves either losing their client base because other people are going to come swooping in. Or there's an opportunity to position themselves to ride this wave, to be part of it, to capitalize on it. And the challenging piece is, and it's so clear and obvious to some of our, like myself, who's like this business creative, right? I see things differently. I think about things differently. And perhaps the way that you view things is challenging for, you know, I've got to really work and stretch to look at it kind of in that way. But consider this, right? One of the top 10 law firms in the world is creating a Miami office now. And it's already noted the amount of square footage and the space that's going in, et cetera. Now, one of the things I see, and that's clear to anyone looking at this, is the office buildings that are being created, the retail spaces that are being created, you know, a lot of professional women, childcare, they're going to need schools, childcare, car service, like all these different things. Think about it for a moment. When there's a region, let's say you live in a community and there's a couple of key businesses, maybe such and such as headquartered. You're in Kansas City and Garmin's headquartered there, or you're in, you know, Motorola's headed there, wherever you are, and they decide to move from that location, what type of devastation does that have on the community and the small business community? It is a ripple effect. The luncheonette, the florist, the dry cleaner, right? All of these businesses suffer. They suffer greatly in terms of client loss, in terms of dropping an atrophying of cash flow, in terms of losing significant segment of the customer, of their client base, if not vast majority of their client base. So imagine, let's flip that. Imagine a company's coming into town. So here's the question. Here's what I would be doing. I mean, if I was in South Florida and I had some of these services, I'd be looking up in that law firm, what are some of the benefits that their HR offers? What is the car service that they're contracted with in other cities? Can you subcontract for them? So it's not even about getting the the law firm as the client. It's about being the subcontractor for the people they already are using who may or may not have a presence in South Florida. So it's beginning to notice the trends and what's happening with those trends, and where is there an opportunity? Where is there an opportunity for your business? Right? Import-export. There's a free trade zone. The foreign trade zone is no longer a couple blocks. It's like the whole county. I mean, there's just incredible opportunity there. And when are you going to start getting ready? You start getting ready now. Why? Because it involves critical thinking. And this is that the larger companies have divisions and departments and key people who are, it's their job to find this stuff, to define the, find these developing markets, to find these potential opportunities. We in small businesses and mid-sized businesses and solopreneurs, we don't have that bandwidth. So we need to carve out the executive thinking time for it. And I promise you that this will increase your bottom line, or it has the potential to. And I know for sure, heavens, I know, and I'm no different in terms of getting caught up from, you know, creating space to work on the business and be strategic and work in the business. And, you know, absolutely, absolutely. Right. So how do we handle that piece? Because we're really highlighting something here. So stay with me. And I'm curious, how do you create the space for critical thinking time? And if you don't, what's the opportunity cost for your business? You know, or your team. It's great when you have a team that you could collaborate with. You know, it's interesting. Through Growth Management Group, and I don't always, you know, highlight this stuff or put it out there, but one of the things we have a program, and it's brilliant. It's a mastermind program, and it's a weekly call in some cases and a monthly call in others, and it's virtual, and it's business owners and people at different stages of their business getting together once a week for an hour or once a month, and there's a key business, something that's taught for a brief period, and then they come with a challenge, a concern, something they're up against, and they leave the call clarity. They're on the other side of it. And they also got to hear things that other people are facing and dealing with and new resources and everything. It is such a valuable piece. It saves people hours, if not days, if not months, in terms of being able to get to the other side of a consideration, a question, a challenge, a problem, an impasse, whatever it is, or what's next. Brilliant. It's brilliant. And it's really, really valuable. If it's something that you may be interested in, definitely send us an email, because it's worth knowing about. And at the same time, we're talking about trends. Now, there are some resources for recognizing trends. Without this turning into your full-time job. So www.trendwatching.com. So trendwatching.com, great resource for trends. There's also Future Lab, Future Laboratory. I know in Florida, which is where we're based out of, there's floridatrend.com, www.floridatrend.com. You know, you may want to look at other demographics, what's happening, where are there opportunities. There might be an opportunity for collaboration, for JV. You could see how other what other people are doing in other markets that you may be able to say, you know what, brilliant, not exactly the way they're doing it, but my gosh, we could implement that here. Wow. Thank you very much. Have a great day. So we're going to go to a break. When we come back from the break, we're going to be pulling this all together. What I want for everyone, what I really want for all listeners today, is that you're engaged, like you're thinking. You're starting to notice where, what is it, homeostasis, where you've kind of gotten a holding pattern. where we've stopped being creative and innovative and adding that energy. This isn't about being frivolous or impetuous or hasty for no reason. This is really, this is bottom line business building that we're talking about. When we come back from break, we're going to discuss a bit more. And stay with us when we come back from break.
From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network.
As your business grows, are you growing with it? Do you have the right balance of time, attention, work, and personal life? Take the growing pains out of growth and tune into The Business Edge with Marcia Zeidel. If you are spending most of your energy managing problems rather than focusing on taking your business to the next level, our program will give you the steps you need to make sure you have everything in place for forward-thinking business leadership. The Business Edge is heard every Wednesday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Business Channel.
If you currently or aspire to serve on a board or work in a leadership capacity for or with a public or nonprofit organization, where can you turn to get the best advice and practices? How about Leadership Matters with Dr. Cheryl G., Jenny Frumer, John Janetta, and Linda Shube? Our program discusses challenges facing both public and nonprofit leaders. Don't miss these practical solutions and tips to enhance your leadership style and effectiveness. Leadership Matters airs live Wednesdays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Business Channel.
Are the challenges of economic uncertainty and the pressures of global competition wreaking havoc on your company strategy? To succeed in today's fast-paced, high-tech business landscape, companies must continually adapt while driving innovation and exploiting new opportunities. Listen for Quantum Business Insights with host Olivia Parr-Rood. Our guests will include thought leaders from around the world discussing and exploring the concepts that will move companies forward in these uncertain times. Tune in every Friday at noon Eastern Time, 9 a.m. Pacific, on the Voice America Business Channel.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to Moving Forward with Jen Sabin. We'd love to hear from you today. Please call in to our program at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. If you'd prefer, send an email to Jen Sabin at jensabin.com. And remember, that's two N's in Jen. Now, back to Moving Forward.
Hello, hello, and welcome back to Moving Forward. We're discussing a lot of stuff. So where we started was we talked a bit about business models and business model generator, and we also discussed resources, like not just resources, but resources that are also kind of key partners, and that there are most likely, not always, but most likely, organizations in your county, province, wherever, village, state, whatever. And part of the role of these organizations is to support you in meeting the key people that can help you with your business. And do you know who they are? It's a different kind of networking. It's a different kind of networking. It's partially their job. I mean, there are many different, usually governmental agencies, who part of what they want to do is create an economic stimulus dynamic. And they may know key people that could support the growth of your small business. Now, there's such a wide disparity in terms of small business and small business and solopreneur and the small company. So, you know, there's a difference between the small business that's grossing anywhere between a couple hundred thousand and a couple million. And then there's also the, you know, I love this, the small business, the administration, the SBA's version of a small construction firm is 1,500 employees or less. Now, the reality is when I think of small construction companies, you know, that's a far cry from the person who has a couple of independent contractors, maybe two or three employees and three or four trucks, which is a solid small business that could be making a big difference in terms of their community and doing a great job, different end of the spectrum. But the question is, are you just going to the groups looking to find the ultimate user, you know, the of your product or service, or are you looking at, you know, how to reach those channels in a different way? And what's so interesting is often when you're dealing with government agencies that are created this way, they really want to be part of your success story. They've got some great resources and great connections, and they just don't have access to you necessarily. So sometimes it takes us reaching out to them. Like, they don't know you, right? They're there, and they've got this huge, vast demographic that they're responsible for. And, you know, if you could create a collaborative dynamic with them, create a synergy, a partnership, find out what resources they have, ideas, brainstorm with them, you have no idea what can become available. No idea. No idea. And then, so we're talking about that type of thing. And then I mentioned strategy. I talked a bit about strategy. And isn't it interesting when you're looking at your vision and you're considering your goals, you don't want to do this necessarily in a vacuum. You may be capitalizing on a trend without even realizing it, but you want to be aware of trends, and you want to be aware of trends in your business. So I talked about trends, and it's one of the key things with trends, and again, this is critical thinking stuff, right? This is like, you know how in Broadway, the curtain goes up and they're doing the show, but there's all the rehearsing they do in advance, right? It's like the practice before the playing the game. And there's what goes into making sure that the practice is effective. I think it was John Wooden, and I apologize if I mispronounced his name, used to spend like 3 hours planning a one-hour practice for his basketball team, you know, national championship winning team. And he did that so that not a minute was wasted. It was completely on purpose. So one of the things that happens in our businesses when it's us or a small team and we're growing and we're engaged, etc., is we often, and it's not easy, it's a challenge. And I will tell you, every guest we've had on the show, including myself in building this company, it takes something to keep a clean space, create space to think, to evaluate, which is why it's so important to have different measures. You know, things that we're measuring, that we're putting that in place so we know what we're looking at as an indication of evaluating something. You know, if we want to go on the weekend, we might look at the weather. We might look at the temperature. We might look out a window. There's things that we use so that we could determine how we're going to plan our day. Well, you know, what are those in your business? Kind of key performance indicators. What are you measuring? What are you tracking? That's a whole different topic. And for some of you, you're just like, thank heaven, and you just cringed, right? Oh no, she's talking about measuring things. In terms of strategy, in terms of trends, in terms of resources, you know, where do you begin? Well, I think one of the places that you begin is by actually creating a space in your calendar for it. And for some of you, you're like, yeah, that was amusing. Here's the deal. Nature abhors a vacuum. So it's just how it is. So it's always going to be filled up. However, you've got to create that space for the critical thinking, because without that, no one can do, you know, I'd love to do the thinking for you. And there's a piece where you have to be involved in it, because it's your vision, it's your company, it's your business. You have a sensitivity. Now, You don't necessarily come up with your own advertisements. You hire a creative force to do that, but you're also sharing with them the information to be able to make an informed decision on what they should create. So there's a place where you still are the source. Critical thinking, especially if you're a smaller business, it's key. I'm stumbling and I'm stammering over myself. This isn't about creative avoidance. This isn't about all thought. But what many of us do, we open our doors, we're open for business, and we're just kind of in it. And we're either in it, or you may even find, heaven forbid, that there are people playing a waiting game. Like something's going to cause something without you being proactive. Like it's outside of us. So with that being said, you want for each of us, so like what to do with all this, okay? So I would suggest that you take a little bit and consider, you know, what are some of the trends? What are some of the trends that are happening? And you may find out that you're spot on, you're in it. It's valuable to be aware of this. Maybe you take 15 minutes and instead of going on LinkedIn or Twitter or some other social media page, you check out some of these trend sites and, you know, and do some exploring. Broaden your perspective. Are you looking at local markets and local customers when you should be, and I don't mean shouldn't, you know, derive from the French word scold, but when there's an opportunity in an emerging market that you never even considered? You know, maybe you're having a really tough time locally. However, there is a huge market in Turkey for you. Right? I don't know. I do know that someone I was speaking to recently, regrettably, you know, or not regrettably, depending on your perspective, was going to buy a U.S. establishment and use that to incorporate their manufacturing product into their platform. And it was a little dear, which means it cost a little more than they were willing to pay for the plant. And they wound up going to, it was Norway, I think. Why? Because Norway has free trade with China. So, you know, there's a global perspective that we might not be aware of. And you may find out that your cookies, or, you know, I don't know if you're in consumer brands. I don't have the faintest idea right now. As I said before, please let us know some of the businesses you're in. But maybe your next opportunity isn't local. Maybe it's international. Maybe it's global. I don't know. Or maybe you're going to see something or read about something that's relevant to your industry that hasn't hit your local market yet because it's showing up in an emerging market. It's a consumer trend that hasn't come to your industry. You're ahead of the curve. So there's what's so great about this is there's this rich opportunity. Now, for many of us, this is something that might be out of the way we think. So I want to share with you a technique because some of you are like, well, how do I even begin? And this is kind of has to do with synapse and a way of thinking. If you are looking at a trend, or let's say I mentioned Turkey, you're saying, well, you know, can we do this? Or what should we do? I don't know. I don't think this way. This is really, you know, I'm starting to clam up. I'm hearing it's static in my head. Like I don't even, you've got me in such a swirl. A question you could ask yourself, even though it doesn't exist right now, and this isn't an affirmation, but it does something to the brain. It's about, you know, you might notice most business consultants and coaches, et cetera, we tend to ask what-based questions. Occasionally we ask why, but if we ask why, we're going to get a story versus what, which would be more factual-based. So, like the why is the reason, the what is the fact. So you can ask yourself, even though it doesn't exist, and this isn't an affirmation, this isn't like saying, like, you know, I'm 5'8 and, you know, because I'm 5'4, that's what I'm saying, I'm 5'8. Like, this isn't like some kind of fantasy BS. What this is to ask yourself, why was my business able, you know, to become a leading, the next hottest product in Turkey? When you ask yourself questions like that, those why-based questions, or why was my firm able to double its revenues in 8 months? Then you, what happens is your brain starts to click in and start coming up with possible answers. Why was I finally able to lose a last 10 pounds? Why was I able to run a marathon when I never was able to even get out the door to get the mail in the morning? You know, like whatever it is. It goes why, and then your brain kind of goes because. It's kind of tricking your head. It's something for, you know, if there's a goal and you want to start coming up with strategies, how you're going to do that, that's a way to access the strategy. Why were we able to accomplish that goal? Why were we able to fulfill on that? So it's kind of a way to approach it. What I would love, and I'm putting it out there to our listeners, you know, what are some of the resources that would be of value to some of our other listeners? How have you been able to capitalize on trends or recognize trends? How, you know, what do you do to create executive thinking time, given all the different pulls and commitments and that it takes for a small business? You know, how do you create that space and have strong boundaries around it? And what do you use that time for? So this would be great to share with the larger community as well. Everyone, we're going to wrap up. Thank you for being here today. I mean, no kidding, our commitment is to your success, right? You know, over, under, around, through, like using what's here and relevant and available. Now, this is all about growing your business and having it be scalable and profitable and realizing what it is that you want for your vision to actually have it be realized. So with that, make it a great week. Make it a moving forward week. We'll be back next week.
Thank you again for tuning in to Moving Forward. Please join Jen Sabin again next Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Channel. Make your week a moving forward week.